American businesses need more skilled workers. How do we find the talent? How do we go about developing it? And how do we create opportunities for everyone in our society to get a good job? I'm Ramona Schindelheim, editor-in-chief of Working Nation, a nonprofit media company telling stories about the future of work, the future of education, and closing the job skills gap. Welcome to our new podcast, Work in Progress. In coming weeks, Work in Progress will explore the rapidly changing workplace. What are the most in-demand jobs? And how are companies finding skilled workers? How can older workers acquire the skills needed to transition into the next generation of jobs? How can the formerly incarcerated connect to programs that will prepare them to reenter the job market? We'll be talking with innovators, educators, decision makers, people with ideas and solutions for today's workforce challenges. On today's program, we'll focus on living longer and working longer. For a variety of reasons, workers in their 40s and 50s are finding themselves out of a job, and those in their 60s or 70s may not have adequate savings or even a pension that will let them retire. In fact, according to economist Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, half of all Americans have saved nothing for their retirement.
And you may ask, why is that? It's because half of all businesses don't offer a retirement plan. Because of that, 80% of Americans fear retirement more than they fear death itself.
At the Milken Institute's global conference in Los Angeles, I spoke with Townsend and other experts who are working on these issues. Paul Irving, chairman of the Milken Center for the Future of Aging, hosted a panel entitled, Is Retirement Extinct? Irving says it isn't, but it is changing. Why? Because the workplace is changing. And some older workers find those changes challenging, even threatening.
They're threatened by automation. They're threatened by a lack of fresh skills. They're threatened by consolidation, and kind of new efficiencies in running businesses, which in a sense may be great for some stakeholders, may create products and services, may be good for shareholders, but not necessarily good for those employees. There's another set of retirees who are able to work longer because they've been able to adapt. They have more flexible careers. They've been able to transition not just in their principal careers, but into new activities, into encore careers that sometimes involve compensation and sometimes are just involved in volunteering and other kinds of new entrepreneurship and business creation. So I'd say retirement today is really a tale of two cities. It's a very different thing for those with education, with access, with some level of wealth, of personal financial resources. It's a very, very different thing for a large swath of the population that doesn't have those things.
Without the obvious advantages Paul Irving cites, what's the secret to staying employed and employable well past the traditional retirement age? Lifelong learning, says Working Nation CEO Art Bilger.
Lifelong learning is going to be required for anyone to stay in whatever job they are in, whether you're talking about the most sophisticated, you know, data scientist, or even at the most basic levels of society, because technology, globalization, longevity, and broken education are all coming together like never before in history. I think one of the greatest challenges we have in our society is the reskilling and education of the 48-year-old. And of course, I'm using 48 to generically mean people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, as opposed to that K through 12 or someone in their 20s who's still going through the education process. But I also, wearing my investment hat, we're looking and seeing fascinating things in the technology world that hopefully can be utilized for this area of, you know, educating and re-educating both young people as well as older people.
Art Bilger is the founder and CEO of Working Nation. Here's Paul Irving of the Milken Institute again.
And I think the importance of Art's comment is it recognizes the reality that we've moved from a world of defined benefit pension plans, of some level of retirement assurance that still exists, by the way, for example, for government employees, but it doesn't exist at this point for virtually anybody in the private sector. We've moved to a world of self-funding, a world of 401ks and 403bs and IRAs, and it's just not working well enough. So it really means we need to do two things. One is we need to think about new retirement systems that cover a broader swath of Americans, and two, as very much as Art says, we need to prepare people for more flexible, in a sense, lives that involve more risk, more change, less predictability. I mean, I think what this really requires is a change in culture. And I think you're so right. You mentioned earlier that this is something that shouldn't just be a conversation for people in middle age or people in older age. It should be a conversation for kids, for people in schools and around the dinner table with their parents. People have to understand that they're not going to work in one job for 30 years anymore. They're not going to have a set of skills that are identified and developed when they're 18 or 19 or 20 that are going to somehow remain relevant and fresh when they're 50 or 60. So we have to change the way we think about life course. You know, the way I think about this is that in many ways science, advances in medicine, advances in sanitation and safety have created this incredible opportunity for us, this potential longevity dividend that is completely unrealized. It's unrealized because of the risks of chronic disease. It's unrealized because of the challenges of social determinants. It's unrealized because, as Art Bilger would recognize better than anyone, that we really have not figured out a way to change this kind of pattern of work, pattern of life course, pattern of education. We've all got to play a part in that. It's got to change.
That was Paul Irving, chairman of the Milken Institute Center for the Future of Aging, speaking with Working Nation CEO Art Bilger. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, and this is Work in Progress. Most of us won't retire when our parents did. Hopefully, it's because we love our jobs so much we won't want to. But the reality is that many Americans can't afford to stop working. According to my next guest, there are more seniors living in poverty in the United States than anywhere else in the developed world. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is Director of Retirement Security at the Economic Policy Institute. She's acutely aware of both the reasons behind the problem and its ramifications, and she has a plan to fix it.
The median savings rate in the United States is zero. That means half of Americans have saved nothing for retirement. And you may ask, why is that? Most people say, well, they can't save. In fact, it's because half of all businesses don't offer a retirement plan. And because of that, 80% of Americans fear retirement more than they fear death itself. I want to change that. And the easiest way to change that is to make it easy for businesses to offer a retirement plan. You know, you can think of a lot of businesses. You're a hairdresser. You didn't think about how to set up a retirement plan. You wanted to cut hair. You know, you fix cars. You want to fix cars. You don't want to set up a retirement plan. You're a political consultant. That's what you want to do, not set up a retirement plan. So we've got a way that it will be easy for employers and employees to save. We would say to you, if you work for an employer that doesn't offer a retirement plan, you take 1.5% out of your income, have it matched by your employer, you, the employee, decide where to invest it. It would be invested like a diversified account, and when you retire, you'll get a monthly paycheck for the rest of your life. If you make under $40,000 a year, which is the median income, you get a tax credit. So you get nothing taken out of your income at all. It would be basically free to you. And these plans have worked all over the world, including Australia. And it's really wonderful because when you retire, getting a monthly paycheck for the rest of your life, you don't have to think about, okay, you've got $100,000 in the bank, where should I invest it? You don't have to worry. You can just know that monthly paycheck is there for you. You can breathe easy. You can have a sense of peace of mind. And all through that working life, you know that you control the money. You do. It's your money. You know what's happening to it. And I think that's what Americans need, because we have the highest poverty rate of seniors of any GE country, of the GE7. And what young people want, when we've polled this plan, we've found that 77% of Republicans, 77% of Democrats, and 86% of millennials like this idea. So there's a yearning in the United States that we can make retirement easy, simple, portable, and safe.
So how do you address the gig worker, though? We have so many contractors out
there. This is great for the gig worker. Of course, it would depend on how the legislation is written, but my view is you would make sure that the employer in the gig economy would contribute his or her 1.5%. The employee would get 1.5%, and that 3% would be, over the course of the 40 years, about one-third your Social Security check. And the employee would be in charge. They would decide whether it goes into State Street or Fidelity or an other well-known investment firm. That's what's so important. It's your money. You decide. You know where it should go. It starts on the first day the employee starts to work. You don't have to have a long period of time where there's no investment, and it starts day one.
One last question. You made a comment about seniors, that there are more seniors living in poverty than anywhere else in the world, is it?
Yes.
Could you explain that a little bit to me?
Well, there's a greater percentage of seniors in poverty than in any place else in the G7, that is in the developed world, in the United States, which means that we really have to reform our Social Security system. We have not kept up with the better payments for those who live on Social Security as we should have. And what we need to do, and what this Congress needs to do, is to make sure that we reform the Social Security system so that everybody can get a decent monthly paycheck that shows their dignity. We should not have, in the richest country in the world, so many people living in poverty.
Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is Director of Retirement Security at the Economic Policy Institute. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, and this is Work in Progress. Townsend isn't the only one concerned about our future financial health. When we come back, Teresa Ghilarducci of the New School for Social Research tells us her ideas for making sure all Americans survive retirement. The future of work is changing. Are you ready? If you're not yet familiar with Working Nation, let me tell you a little about us. We're a nonprofit media company made up of seasoned journalists, producers, business leaders, and educators. Our mission is to bring awareness to the impact that changing technology is having on the workforce. A lot of people are talking about the problem. At Working Nation, we're focused on solutions. We're looking at the programs that are out there, and we're talking to the people who are working to close the skills gap. The gap between the skills employers need in a workforce and the skills workers actually have. How do we do this? Through Working Nation videos, articles, live events, and of course, podcasts. All of these and more can be found on our website, www.workingnation.com, your source for all information on the future of work. You're listening to Work in Progress. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief for Working Nation. Teresa Ghilarducci is a labor economist with the New School for Social Research. Like Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, she's concerned about the prospects for older workers and their lack of savings. And like Townsend, she has a proposed solution. She writes about it in her book, Rescuing Retirement, A Plan to Guarantee Retirement Security for All Americans. The New School for Social Research recently published a report on the status of older workers in the United States. It came out on May 1st, which also happens to be International Workers' Day.
Why did we pick this day and why on older workers? It's because of the baby boomers and because people don't have enough pensions. The fastest growing group in the labor market are older workers. 11 million jobs will be created in the United States in the next 10 years, and 6.4 million of them will be people over age 55. So if we don't focus on the status of their bargaining power, the status of their jobs, we could miss out on a factor that will affect every worker, no matter how old they are. And what we found in our report is that the quality of the jobs that older workers have is actually quite bad. there are some people who are senators, who are professors, who are doctors, lawyers, who are older, and they love their jobs. But it's a far cry from the vast majority of older workers. So our report focused like a laser on how many older workers were in what we call alternative work schedules. Gig workers, that they're really not employees. People who are in jobs where they have split shifts, where they can work 3 hours in the morning, then they have to go off someplace and wait without pay and then come back to work. You see that a lot in the service work. Or work in a fissured workforce, that they used to be a janitor at a Hilton hotel, and they were Hilton employees in Hilton healthcare, Hilton pension plans, and then all of a sudden Hilton fissured off that work into some kind of contractor, and now they're an employee of ABC contractor, no health benefits, no work. And older workers are actually much more prone to be in these lower quality job arrangements than younger workers. It shocked us. So that was the biggest surprise, is that the quality of jobs that older workers have are actually quite low quality. Now we're doing a lot of work, and we will continue our Status of Older Workers reports. As we go forward, we're going to look at the effect of work on well-being for older people. We have this fantasy that people need to work into their 60s and 70s and 80s to have a purpose, to structure their day. That doesn't show up in the data. That's fantasy. People can structure their day, have social connections, without having to sell their labor for somebody else. So we're finding data that that working for somebody else can actually make you worse off, especially if you're working in Amazon warehouse and you're 68 years old and you're doing stooping and bending and lifting. Your rates of morbidity actually increase. And it's really important for the U.S. Department of Labor to focus on these workers, especially since they're the bulk of the labor force. The solution to the erosion of equality of older workers' jobs is bargaining power. All American workers need more bargaining power. Clearly, they've lost unions, so the one way institutionally workers can get better working conditions, better pay, share in their increase in productivity is through unions, but that was a minority of the population and it's almost disappeared. So we need regulation institutions to make sure that workers, no matter what age, can get the benefit of their increased education, their increased intensity of work. So there are lots of different ways I could talk about it, but the framework is older workers need more bargaining power to help lift up the status of all workers.
It's one thing to say more bargaining power will solve the problem, but are older displaced workers prepared for a changing employment landscape? Do they have the skills they need to get the jobs that are out there?
Actually, a lot of these older workers are going to be seeking work have been abandoned and discarded by their industries. So there is a false view that these older workers aren't as productive. There's a lot of ageism, age bigotry. You see it in our presidential campaigns where so-and-so is too old to be in to be a president, even though they have vitality and they look like they're not going away anytime soon. That's just age bigotry, a bigotry that we wouldn't tolerate actually against women or blacks, but we do. So a lot of that is in the labor market. A lot of people do need to be retrained. But retrain for what? To be a Walmart worker or an Amazon? So the quality of the jobs have to lure older workers into retraining, or it's just a waste of time. The other way that older workers can get bargaining power so that employers will want to train them is if they have what we call walking away money. That if we don't have people aging into their 60s without a good fallback position, without a good, decent pension, so they can choose to work, then they won't be able to leverage that. If they need that job, they'll be working on their employer's term. In the trade, we call it scientifically FU money. And everybody needs it, especially older workers.
I'm Ramona Schindelheim, and this is Work in Progress. My guest is Teresa Ghilarducci of the New School for Social Research. We've been talking about the findings in their recent report on older workers in the United States. Ghilarducci says there is age discrimination when it comes to new hires, but I also wondered, how do racial and gender differences come into play?
So we have this huge number of boomers turning 65 every day, 10,000 every day. You can divide those into half, those who have enough money to retire and they work if they want, and those who don't. Now, if you look at that group in terms of their sex, in terms of their income, and in terms of their race, you really see big differences. So the occupation with the most demand is in personal health care and home health care. 1.4 million jobs of the 11 million, 10% will be in that those two occupations. Those are filled primarily by women, and primarily women of color or older women. Many of the women of color who are younger are single mothers, and they are eligible for the earned income tax credit. So their low pay, their kind of poverty wages, will be subsidized by taxpayers, and they'll get a boost up of the earned income tax credit. But older women working in those occupations will be working at lower wages, partially suppressed because of the earned income tax credit goes to a big percentage of them. Wages, they'll be working at lower wages without the earned income tax credit. So we need to boost the minimum wage, and we need to actually extend the earned income tax credit to all low-wage workers, regardless of age or whether or not they have children. And that will affect women a lot more than it'll affect men. So if you look at a working older person and they're low pay and they're really still working poor, much more likely to be a woman and much more likely to be a woman of color. So it's really important to know that older white men who are working are usually doing it for love because they have walking away money. And if you're looking at a person of color or a woman who's working at old ages, she or he is doing it because they don't have enough fallback position. They don't have enough pensions. So if we had a decent retirement system like a lot of G7 nations have, we'll have a better labor market for older workers. Now that seems weird. A better pensions lead to better labor outcomes? Absolutely, because better pensions have more empowered workers. And if older workers are lured into the labor force, you automatically have higher pay, better working conditions. So we have to fix our Social Security system by putting in more money to making sure there's no cut in benefits. Don't cut benefits, don't raise the retirement age, just put more money into the system. But on top of that, everybody deserves to have a retirement plan. Only half of workers have a retirement plan. If they don't have it, they'll reach old age without any bargaining power. So I propose a universal pension system for all American workers. Workers pay into it, employers pay into it, and we have actually smart, equal government subsidies for that. It's a lot easier to fix that than Medicare for all. It's just money, and we start early. So I have been talking to as many presidential candidates as I can and members of Congress. We need pensions for all.
Work in Progress is produced by Working Nation, your source on the future of work. I'm Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief for Working Nation. We heard today from Teresa Ghilarducci of the New School for Social Research, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend of the Economic Policy Institute, Paul Irving from the Milken Center for the Future of Aging, and Working Nation founder and CEO Art Bilger. If you're a worker in your 40s, 50s, or beyond, and would like to know about preparing for the jobs of the future, visit our website, workingnation.com. There, you'll find articles, videos, and other resources to help you navigate your own second or third act. To hear more about the future of work and workers, subscribe to Work in Progress, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Annie Chelsea, and executive producers, Joan Lynch and Melissa Panzer. Our theme music was composed by Lee Rosevier and licensed under Creative Commons Attribution License 4.0 International. See you next time.